This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next-level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next-level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A new week begins right here, right now, live on a Monday on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. A full-blown recap on this Monday of the football weekend that was NFL Week 11 and the Sunday slate. Week 12 in college football, the third to final Saturday of the regular season. All that, Lisi guy, over this next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, great Saturday at college football. I mean, those games might not have, you know, caught the eye in terms of, you know, top 25 battles, but upsets
right
across the landscape. And then, you know, yesterday, those games really proved to be deciding as it relates to the AFC playoff picture. Buffalo knocking off Kansas City. We saw the Steelers step up and hand Lamar Jackson and Baltimore yet another loss. So those will tell the final tale in regards to the AFC championship odds, but just an amazing weekend of college and pro football.
Yeah, and let's start, Joe, with that huge monumental showdown on a Sunday in Western New York. There is a lot to get to. We'll recap all 12 games from the NFL Week 11 Sunday slate here in this hour. We'll preview Monday Night Football to conclude week number 11 and some of those college football thoughts. But again, Lisi guy, Orchard Park, the scene for a game of the year potential between the Chiefs and the Bills, that rivalry within the AFC that has really defined this conference for the last half decade. Now, both teams entered week 11 in this huge game on a Sunday, downplaying its significance. It's just the regular season. It's just week 11. Both teams really good and would probably meet up when it mattered most later in the postseason. But at least here in week 11, the Buffalo Bills have the upper hand, handing the Chiefs their first loss of the year, 30-21. Some of those cojones out of Sean McDermott deciding not to kick a field goal on 4th and 2 from KC's 26-yard line, but trusting in his quarterback. And Josh Allen makes good on it. A scamper on 4th down, 26 yards, all the way past the first down marker and the pylon marker into the end zone for what would be that game-clinching touchdown, 30-21. The victory for Buffalo at home, Joe. They cover as a 2.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, we talked about it in the pregame show on Pro Football Today. You know, Josh Allen is lethal, just like Lamar Jackson. When he breaks contain with his legs, he had a 35.5, 36 number at the start of the game, blows through that with 56 total yards on the ground. You mentioned the 26-yard scamper. I did have him on the show, plus 135 for any time touchdown. He hits that, so that really cemented that in regards to, you know, that matchup. But big picture, we know that, and they've dominated for the most part these regular season games, right?
No doubt,
we knew that Kansas City was living dangerously week to week to week. You could make the correlation that they were maybe similar to the way the Minnesota Vikings were with Cousins when they were 13-3, winning narrow margin games and making it to the playoffs. Well, they were there. It's no shock. Pat Mahomes, again, another interception. We saw him step up. They trailed for much of the second half, couldn't pull it out. And that is the weakness right now of Kansas City, the go-to player. You know, Xavier Worthy, dynamic first half, non-existent second half, and that will maybe bite the Chiefs in the end.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. They have been winning games by a slim margin. Of course, a perfect undefeated 9-0 mark entering, now 9-1. Seven of the nine wins by just a single score. Yesterday's loss by single digits. The Chiefs also entered a perfect 5-0 straight up as an underdog since the beginning of last year, including the playoff road win in Orchard Park in the divisional round a season ago. Not yesterday. Buffalo, who has now won six consecutive games, has covered in five of six. And Joe, of course, we are going to compare these two teams, their outlooks, and the quarterback play. Josh Allen, pretty solid yesterday, despite his third consecutive game with an INT, was Buffalo's leading rusher and did score that game-sealing touchdown. Patrick Mahomes, less than 200 yards, did have three touchdown tosses, but multiple interceptions. Can't really fault the final one. He was trying to make a play as the Chiefs were down by two scores in the final minute and a half. But Joe, after the game, I thought what Josh Allen had to say was pretty important, because entering the week, the Buffalo Bills downplayed the significance of this matchup. Yes, a great game on paper. Yes, two very familiar franchises. But to them, it was just another regular season game in week number 11, where in years past, these regular season matchups have felt like it was Buffalo's Super Bowl, but the Chiefs would end up having the last laugh come the postseason. Josh Allen said, listen, a great game, but just week 11. We've got to keep going throughout the rest of this regular season. And knowing the way these things work out, maybe they'd see each other once again in the postseason. The significance, though, of yesterday is the Chiefs now one loss, still a half game in front of Buffalo for what is the best record around the AFC. But if for some reason KC falls off a little bit and the Bills keep winning, that direct head-to-head tiebreaker could be vital, Joe, to decide who has home field advantage in the AFC postseason.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, why the Bills thought they had a great opportunity last year in regards to the, you know, divisional playoff matchup, playing at home in Buffalo, obviously a lot different than in Arrowhead. They couldn't pull that ball game out. They lose it by three, and I'm sure revenge was still on their mind from last season's game, right? You never want to lose a game, especially at home, and you don't want to lose a game with the number one seed in terms of the AFC up for grabs, right? And you have an opportunity to give the Chiefs their first loss of the season, and on top of that, close the gap to potentially getting home field advantage. Of course, it was a huge game. I just think that the mindset has changed for Buffalo, right? You know, a lot of people said, oh, it's more not a rebuild, but more of a reset, and they weren't going to be as dialed in. I disagree. You know, this team has chemistry and continuity, much like, you know, Kansas City did last year. Just because they don't have the marquee names doesn't mean that they're not playing as an offense and defensive unit more cohesive this year than they were last year. They are start to finish a different team than they were in 2023. And as long as Josh Allen makes plays like he did yesterday and doesn't turn the football over, guess what? They have a good shot, great shot to make the number one seed this year.
Kansas City still minus 185 to be that number one overall seed, perhaps a slightly easier remaining schedule than that of Buffalo. The Bills enter their bye week on the other side. It will be more tests for the Bills. Plus 240 to be the number one overall seed. Only about a dollar, Joe, separates these two atop the AFC right now. The Chiefs at plus 220, the Bills at plus 330. Again, both of these organizations completely aware that this week 11 matchup, what happens the remainder of the regular season, does not define this campaign. It's that playoff success. The Chiefs have that pedigree. Buffalo hoping to win its fifth consecutive AFC East crown. They will. They're the only team above 500 in the division. But unlike the previous 4 years, Joe, actually winning an AFC championship game and playing potentially in Super Bowl 59.
And I think you saw that into your point about how, you know, Sean McDermott played that game yesterday, right? In years past, he might have kicked a field goal, very conservative type of defensive-minded coach. right, in that type of situation. This year, more aggressive, wanting to seize the opportunity, not giving Kansas City any opportunity to come from behind to beat them, yeah. right? You know, the killer instinct that where now Buffalo believes they are one of the best teams in the AFC. They're no longer playing right. with doubt. They're playing with confidence. And even that sets in from a coaching standpoint as well with Sean McDermott. So again, complete victory. It definitely isn't the end of the road. And we'll see where Kansas City goes. Is this going to be like the Eagles last year, starting 10-1 and falling off a cliff? Only time will tell. Oh.
Yeah, I think KC will be fine and figure it out. They weren't going to be undefeated all year long in a 17-game regular season schedule. KC will get back on track. But it's not just these two clubs, Joe. Atop the AFC, we head to the Steel City up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A huge day on the Sunday slate in week number 11 around the NFL in the AFC. If the significance of the Chiefs and the Bills doesn't matter all that much outside of some potential postseason positioning, a game yesterday in Pittsburgh had direct implications to a divisional race for the top spot and a title. The Steelers and the Ravens, no love lost in this AFC North rivalry, where Joe, entering the game, we actually anticipated some offense and some points. It looked like an old school AFC North battle. Pittsburgh wins its fifth consecutive game, all four in a row with Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback, despite not scoring a touchdown, 18-16 against the Baltimore Ravens. The Steelers win outright as a three-point underdog. That total of 48.5, 49.5 stays well under. Field goal kicking was critical. Chris Boswell, Pittsburgh's kicker, scored all the points yesterday. A perfect 6-for-6, including 3 from 50-plus yards. And when you talk field goal kicking in this matchup, you would always think the advantage is with Justin Tucker and the flock. His career worst year continues, just 1 of 3 yesterday. And Pittsburgh hangs on for an 18-16 win, Joe, to propel them to a game and a half lead atop the AFC North Division.
Yeah, what's interesting, and you know, I didn't bet this and I should have. It was on my radar. I gave it out on Pro Football Today. The last 7 meetings in terms of the total perspective were totaled in terms of each game averaged 30.5 points per game. I mean, they were, you know, slugfests. And people said, oh, with both Russell Wilson and Lamar having the number one ranked offense, it was going to be a shootout. And that's why you saw the 48.5 point number. But these teams played it like a playoff game, right? They played it where close to the vest. They didn't want to make a lot of mistakes. They knew that a divisional number one seed was on the matchup, along with obviously challenging for, you know, playoff position. And that's the way it played out. Both teams, from a defensive perspective, stepped up. Baltimore's secondary stepped up. They forced, you know, teams to throw, both quarterbacks to throw underneath, take field goals and not touchdowns. And it was a great defensive battle. I will say this, Pittsburgh, their defense has stepped up in recent weeks now. They're starting to come into form the way we remember a Mike Tomlin defense. And T.J. Watt and that front seven shut down Derrick Henry in that rushing attack, made them, you know, one-dimensional in critical third down situations. And they had the advantage. And right now, Russell Wilson, right now, proving to be the right decision in that offense. They're playing with house money. Mike Tomlin's done a fantastic job. We'll see how it continues. But great victory for Pittsburgh yesterday.
And the Ravens, because Pittsburgh had failed to hit Pater, had some opportunities. Derrick Henry touchdown gave them the early lead, 7-6, despite trailing. Derrick Henry fumbled on his first carry of the game, which set up that opening field goal for the Steelers. Even late, Joe, in the final 2 minutes, when Lamar Jackson connected with Zay Flowers from 16 yards out to make it 18-16, the flock had life. 2-point conversion attempt did not come through, however. So Baltimore now 7-4, Pittsburgh 8-2, minus 160, the price for the Steelers to win the AFC North. That was not the case, Joe, entering week 11. It was the Ravens at greater than a $2 number and a field goal favorite on the road in the Steel City to win this division. That is why that game was so impactful yesterday. The two will face off again, week 16, third to last Sunday of the regular season. But in the first AFC North game of the year for the Steelers, they get a crucial victory.
They do. And again, you know, 4-1 at home, 8-2 overall. And that game was indicative of a Pittsburgh type of game. And what I mean by that is them dictating the tempo from the onset, right? I said it as well. I didn't believe Russell Wilson and the offense were as consistent as Lamar and the way the passing attack has been going for Baltimore, right? You know, Baltimore would much rather have this game played into the high 30s. And whichever team gets to 45-50, hey, we'll get, you know, we'll beat you. That wasn't the case with Pittsburgh. They forced Lamar to stay in the pocket, 16 to 33, a lot of short to intermediate throws. Yeah, Derrick Henry, even though Baltimore averaged 6.5 yards per carry, only 13 attempts, right? When Baltimore's really humming, Derrick Henry's up in the area of 20, 25 attempts. You know, Lamar's chucking it all over the yard. So Pittsburgh did a great job offensively and defensively of establishing this game flow, and that's why they were able to pull it out.
The Steelers have covered in all 8 victories this year. Pittsburgh as an underdog 4 times, an outright win in every single game booked as a dog. And Lisa Guy, we know how competitive Steelers-Ravens games are in the long time positions that both head coaches have been. Tomlin in year number 18 in Pittsburgh, Harbaugh in year number 17 in Baltimore. Since John Harbaugh arrived in the Charm City as the Flock's head coach, 2008, when the Ravens have been a field goal favorite or more against the Steelers, now 0-11-2 against the spread. The Steelers have a gauntlet of a schedule down the stretch. The Ravens, not overly difficult, but not necessarily a cakewalk. It is why Pittsburgh does not necessarily have a stronger advantage despite a game and a half lead in the division. Big game there in the AFC North. Another AFC North team, Joe, with limited margin of error. That's the Bengals on the road last night in SoFi on Sunday Night Football against the Chargers, who just keep winning football games. Now 7-3. J.K. Dobbins, less than 20 seconds remaining in regulation, breaks off a 29-yard touchdown run and a game tied at 27-all to give the Chargers the late lead and a victory. The Chargers are 7-3. They have covered in 6 of those 7 victories. Last night at home, laying 1.5 against Cincinnati in a game, Joe, the Bengals had to have. And like the story of their season has gone, an opportunity missed.
Yeah, and, you know, close losses, that only gets you to a certain point. And again, they started slow, fell behind double digits, became completely one-dimensional. And it's not the offense, because Burrow put up numbers. Mountain. It's that defense. That's what has been the weakness of this team and probably why they'll miss the playoffs this year.
We'll talk about this game, its impact on the AFC, some other teams that might be surprising us in this conference. But before we head over to the NFC, that's all next here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, we continue our recap and review of the NFL Week 11 Sunday slate. Joe, last night inside SoFi between the Chargers and the Bengals, the story of the season for Cincy unfolding once again. Crawling out of a hole, down by 3 touchdowns, 27-6, midway through the third quarter, trying to fight their way uphill, but it comes up just a little bit short once again, despite preposterous numbers from Joe Burrow, 356 and 3 touchdowns, 2 to Ja'Marr Chase, more than 100 and a touchdown to T. Higgins. And the defense, after not looking great in the opening two quarters, was pretty good for a majority of the second half, but when they needed yet another stop, they could not come through. J.K. Dobbins breaks off the nearly 30-yard touchdown run to give L.A. the win, 34-27. Joe, we'll talk about Cincy in a moment, but when you look at the Chargers, this is what Jim Harbaugh does. Every level, he has been the coach. FCS, FBS, Power Conference, and now in the National Football League in two different spots. He comes in. It doesn't take 2, 3, 5 years. He comes in, and he puts up wins right away.
He does. Jim Harbaugh, I mean, changes programs, right? And, you know, there was no doubt that he wasn't the right coach for the LA Chargers. I just thought it would take maybe a year or two to weed out the players that fit the scheme offensively and defensively. Certainly had the quarterback with Justin Herbert. He gets rid of Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler. And people thought, and I was included, that, you know, the wide receiver staff and just the, you know, offense as a whole wouldn't have any type of consistency. Yeah. Wasn't the case, right? J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards have taken over in regards to the rushing attack. You know, Will Disley and those wide receivers, Quentin Johnston, Josh Palmer, and obviously the newbie, Ladd McConkey, have stepped up. And now the scheme is starting to open it up. They're now not a one-dimensional offense. Early in the year, they wanted a ground and pound. Now they're beating you over the top with Herbert, and that's a lethal combination. Defense playing very well. Forcing opportunities and forcing turnovers, they're definitely a playoff contender right now.
Despite allowing those 21 points in the second half to the Bengals, LA still has the best scoring defense, in the NFL. The Chargers are 7-3. The price for LA to see the postseason is now minus 1,500. They're two wins away in their final seven games for going over the preseason win total. Meanwhile, Joe, the Bengals, we knew it was going to be a tough climb after a winless 0-3 start. Now they've dropped two in a row, and they've lost these games in the final seconds once again against the Ravens two Thursdays ago, last night, of course, against the Bolts. They look okay. The numbers that Joe Burrow is putting up are MVP caliber. The offense is absolutely humming, and yet they're 4-7. Plus 390 priced out for Cincinnati to reach the postseason. Is there any hope left for the Bengals?
I don't want to say no, but I brought this up yesterday. I'll bring it up to you. There's only so many times you can make the sale, right? 0-2, we've done this before. 1-3, don't worry about it. 4-6, hey, we're right there in striking distance. Now it's 4-7. How much more can you sell this team? And it's not even the offense, right? It's the defense.
Yeah.
And on top of that, when is enough enough? When does Higgins, after putting up 148 yards of, you know, receiving offense, and Chase say, you know what, I'm checked out. I'm not playing for a playoff that we're never going to get to. And that mindset all of a sudden creeps into the locker room. You know, I love Burrow. I love what they have offensively, but I just can't buy into it because they're losing so many close games that takes away from a team, you know, just a heart and intensity wise before the dam just breaks. So I'll say no. You know, I mean, it would be a monumental effort if they make the playoffs right now.
They are on the bye this week. First game out of the bye, they host the Pittsburgh Steelers. Has to be won. If they lose that, it's done. And I think that quickly, that dam starts to quickly break. So I guess we'll wait for another few weeks. Lazy guy, the reason also it's not as easy of a path back for Cincy as it might have been at times when not many teams were running away with a winning record in the AFC. You've got the Chargers now at 7-3. You've got the Broncos at 6-5. Denver absolutely dismantling Atlanta yesterday at home, 38-6. The Broncos were a slight 1.5 home favorite in Mile High. The Broncos now 4-0 against the spread when booked as the favorites.
Yeah, that was a gutless effort out of Raheem Morris and the Falcons yesterday. We'll talk more about it after the break.
Yes, we certainly will. Bo Nix, 307 yards and 4 touchdown tosses. It's becoming a historic rookie campaign for the 12th overall pick. More on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FSC. Joe, a lot of focus on the AFC. Now let's move to the other conference. And what a matchup we had yesterday at Soldier Field. The rivalry, of course, in the Windy City between the Bears and the Packers. And man, it's got to be so difficult being a Bears backer or a Chicago fan. They just get their hearts ripped out time and again. And when it's your bitter rivals in Green Bay doing it this time, it has to be even more gut-wrenching. The Packers win in the Windy City 20-19. The Bears do cover as a 5.5-point underdog. Caleb Williams in the offense, led by Thomas Brown after the firing of Shane Waldron, looked so much better, especially when it mattered most. But yet again, Matt Eberflus makes decisions that cost his teams football games. Ultimately, the Chicago Bears settle for a 46-yard Cairo Santos potential game-winning field goal try that was blocked by Green Bay's Carl Brooks. 46-yarder deflected off his big mitt and never quite got there. The Pack have now won 11 in a row against the Bears, 16 of their last 17. And Joe, the Bears have dropped four straight games, and Eberflus should have been fired 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, you want to take the good. Thomas Brown had a pretty good game plan from an offensive perspective, taking over for Waldron. We saw him run the football with Roschon Johnson, DeAndre Swift. Caleb Williams was throwing very quick passes, making solid decisions, and it still wasn't enough, right? They settled at times for field goals instead of touchdowns, and then ultimately that's what bites you in the end. And, you know, Jordan Love and that offense look good at times and they look bad at times. And it was just one of those games. It was a black and blue type of game, you know, which resembles the NFC North. But you have to find a way to pull it out. You know, at the end of the day, you get across midfield, you get inside the 30 or right around the 30. Yet you have to still get a, you know, I know you want to rely on the kicker. But, you know, the kicker, I'll say this again, kickers will kill you. They cost you more than they make you. Yeah. And that's it. You want to rely on a kicker, so be it. That's what you get. And Matt Eberflus is one of those coaches. Why win games 40-20 when you could lose them 20-19?
Caleb Williams on that final drive, Joe, making clutch throw after clutch throw, 3 of 3 for 49 yards, was also Chicago's leading rusher with 70 yards on the ground. Or, in fact, not leading rusher. That was DeAndre Swift with 71, but still was able to look pretty good in that new offensive game plan. When he made the connection to Keenan Allen, it was 56 seconds remaining on the clock. It was to Green Bay's 30-yard line. So instead of using the timeouts necessary, continuing to drive down the field, they tried to settle for a mid-range field goal. We saw it immediately on Sunday night. What happens when you play for a win and you stay aggressive to try to find Pater? J.K. Dobbins, 29 yards out, touchdown run, puts the game away. Sure, could he have slid at the 5-yard line and then ever give the ball back to the Bengals? Fine. But go score a touchdown and win a football game. Matt Eberflus makes constantly the wrong decision and needs to be fired again. Yesterday, last week, last month, last year. He continues to cost this young and promising team game after game. Joe, the Packers said after the game that they noticed that Cairo Santos hits a low driving ball there in the Windy City. And they figured that Chicago was going to try to get closer because the closer you get to make the field goal attempt as short range as possible, that low driving ball doesn't have to travel as far, right? It's off the ground. It's over the bar. Good. See you later. But when you have to kick it 46 yards, you can get your big hand up there. Just ridiculous nature out of Matt Eberflus. Green Bay does win and improves to 7-3. A lot of good teams in the NFC North. The Bears are not one right now. The Vikings are 8-2. Rather comfortably, Joe, handling business yesterday in Tennessee against the Titans, winning by double digits, 23-13, covering as a 5.5-point road favorite in Nashville.
And that's what you wanted to see, right? They had, you know, a lackluster effort the week before in Jacksonville, 12-7. They win, but don't cover over the, you know, gutless Jaguars. Back-to-back road games. I thought they would give a great effort, right? It wasn't so much Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison had a huge performance. 50-plus touchdown that really set the tone. And it's Minnesota's defense, you know, still underrated. We saw what they could do against Joe Flacco, right? Keeping him in the pocket, blitzing him numerous times. I thought you would get that type of effort going up against an inexperienced quarterback in Will Levis. He's still a weakness. He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. And he proved that yet again yesterday with that performance. And again, you know, Minnesota is the better team, the much better team. They showed up. And even though Aaron Jones didn't have a great performance on the ground, Sam Darnold bounced back. And with a defense like that, you can win a game as a 5.5-point road favorite. Because quite honestly, I just didn't expect all that out of Tennessee, even though they put up 17 points the week prior in L.A.
2-8 is Tennessee. They have covered in just one game this year. They're 1-9 against the spread. There's not much going on for Brian Callahan or this Titans organization. At least with Mike Vrabel, they were competitive. They would cover numbers. Not the case right now for the Titans. And Joe, it was a good game for Sam Darnold. 246 yards, 2 touchdown passes, did not throw a pick. Of course, when the Vikings started off perfect 5-0, 11 touchdowns to 4 INTs for Darnold. When they had dropped at least 2 of their last 4 entering yesterday, he had thrown 6 touchdowns but to 6 interceptions. Yesterday, just his 3rd game without throwing a pick, 7th time out of 10 games this year, at least 240 through the air. Minnesota has covered in 7 of 8 wins. And to your point, Joe, about that Brian Flores-led defense, under in 7 of 8 victories for the Vikings as well. So the Vikings are 8-2. The Packers are 7-3. But the best team in the NFC North, the conference, and maybe all the National Football League, that's the Detroit Lions, absolutely smashing the Jacksonville Jaguars at home yesterday, 52-6. All right, largest spread of the year in favor of Detroit. They're supposed to win that game rather comfortably, 13.5-point spread. Joe, they beat up on bad teams, and they bludgeon them. 52-6, they easily cover as a 13.5-point home favorite.
I felt like I was watching a college football Big 12 after-night special because I felt like Dan Campbell was trying to give Jared Goff the Heisman. Up 35-plus points, he's still chucking a St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs. You got to love the killer instinct, and that's why I love Dan Campbell, because they don't play around. You know, they stuff you. You know, they just – I love the effort. Because, again, the killer instinct is basically only what we see in terms of college. NFL, they play conservative. They don't want to. These guys are getting paid millions of dollars. Try and stop us. Yeah. You don't like it? Quit. Nobody's telling you to play football. So at the end of the day, I have no problem with it. Bounce back for Jared Goff. What are the only 5 incompletions, 24, 29? When he's on, he's as good as anybody. Bounce back after the 5 interception effort. In the win over Houston last week. Again, the most complete team, in my opinion, in the NFC. They are a difficult team. The only problem is you don't want them to punch themselves out. I talked about this with baseball. You know, you want to be peaking at the end of the regular season.
Right.
You don't want to have some losses the way Philly did. That's the concern. You know, you want to win. Just make sure you're healthy at the end of the regular season.
I think that mentality for Dan Campbell and Detroit will always be there. 18-7 against the spread as the favorites since the beginning of last year. 45-19 ATS in every single game that Dan Campbell has been the head coach of in the Motor City since the start of 2021. And to your point, Joe, after a 5 INT game, albeit a win, but 5 picks in Houston, 412 yards and 4 touchdowns for Jared Goff, legitimately in the MVP conversation. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 2 receiving scores, his 8th consecutive game, finding Pater as well. Detroit is 9-1. They have covered in 8 of 9 victories and are the short favorites to win the NFC. Before the year, Joe, that was what we said for San Francisco, but the Niners are only 500. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC. Leesy Guy, the NFC West is getting mighty jumbled and mighty compelling. The San Francisco 49ers, with their second straight game, having Christian McCaffrey back, but dealing with numerous defensive injuries now, lose a game they were favored to win, and rather comfortably. The Niners are an even 500, 5-5 football team after losing outright at home to the Seahawks as a 5.5-point home favorite. Seattle and Geno Smith orchestrate a great late game drive, 11 plays, 80 yards in just under 2.5 minutes. That ends with Geno Smith finding Pater, utilizing his legs from 13 yards out with only 12 seconds remaining in regulation. Seattle wins 20-17 outright as an underdog, just 2-4 straight up, and ATS for the Seahawks as an underdog this year. The Niners, a favorite in every game, 5-5 both straight up and ATS. Seattle is 5-5. San Francisco is 5-5. We'll talk about the Rams at 5-5 in just a matter of moments. The only team in the NFC West, Joe, with a winning record, it's the Cardinals at 6-4.
Yeah, a very competitive black and blue division. And again, nobody expected San Francisco to be there. Think about the last meeting in Seattle. They absolutely abused them. George Kittle had 2 touchdown receptions in that matchup. He wasn't in the game yesterday. He was banged up, right? So that put a lot of pressure on the passing attack. We saw Juwan Jennings step up, did have a touchdown catch. But, you know, the injuries have caught up to the San Francisco 49ers in regards to the continuity and just the locker room. And I'm not suggesting that there's problems in the locker room. It's just that when you dominate for such a long period of time, much the way San Francisco has, getting to the Super Bowl, you know, numerous times, a couple of times over the past 5 or 6 seasons, you start to question another year. It's another, you know, more pressure. And, you know, younger players can do that. Older veteran players that are dealing with injuries, like Christian McCaffrey, like Kittle, like Debo, it's very hard to have that consistency. So you take those players out, and now you put the new players in, there is a drop-off. And just a chemistry perspective, it's not the same team. And we're seeing offenses now exploit that defense. Bosa's banged up. And credit Seattle. Seattle could not go into that game and play it the way they did last time at home. That game was a higher scoring game. They got smashed. Yeah. They're not built that way. Their defense can't contain San Francisco. They needed Kenneth Walker. They needed a more controlled passing game just to make it into the fourth quarter. That's what they did. And credit Geno. He pulled it out when the game was on the line. I've been critical, but that was a gutty effort on the road in San Fran.
And Seattle not done at 5-5. But San Francisco, Joe, who was the very short favorite to win the NFC before the year in comparison to every other team in the conference, would change back and forth with Kansas City as the Super Bowl favorites entering this season. Now just 5-5 and a plus 850 price for the 49ers to win the NFC, by far the longest we have seen on San Fran. In their 5 losses, under in 4 of 5. In their 5 wins, over in 4 of 5. Christian McCaffrey, since his season debut last week in Tampa, 107 scrimmage yards against the Bucs, 106 scrimmage yards yesterday against the Seahawks, but it's the countless injuries that have started to stack up. No George Kittle yesterday for San Francisco. Nick Bosa injured throughout the game and could not be out there to try to stifle that Seattle defense when it mattered most. Talanoa Hufanga, who has been their outstanding safety, out for the year. Dre Greenlaw, still not back. Javonte Hargrave, the list goes on and on. The 49ers have been a banged-up side, unable to overcome some of those injuries. The Rams, a win yesterday on the road in Foxborough, Joe, 28-22, covering as a 4.5-point favorite against the Patriots. Drake Bay looks okay. The Pats look a little bit more competitive than maybe we anticipated. Still a good win for L.A. in a game they had to have. And again, recipe for success. Matthew Stafford, 295 yards, 4 touchdown tosses, 123 yards and a touchdown to Puka Nacua, 106 receiving yards and 2 scores to Cooper Kupp. That's Rams football right there.
It is, excuse me. And Kyren Williams, 86 yards on the ground, wasn't even utilized in the passing attack. Think about this. Great effort. I thought, you know, right side, they had a lackluster effort against Miami. Offensive line protected Matt Stafford. He made plays. They trailed early, but that defense is still coming into form. The eye test in terms of the NFC West, to me, it's not Seattle or San Fran. It is LA and Arizona. You can make that argument. Forget the early part of the season. Right now, LA and Arizona are playing the most consistent football in the division. And that's why I think if we're looking at big picture, I would bet on both of those teams than I would San Fran or Seattle moving forward. And Sean McVay has found another way to motivate his team, get them back to 500. And you know what? They're different than Cincinnati because, you know what? Cincinnati, just for some reason, walked through the motions in the early part of the season. L.A. had an excuse. They had multiple playmakers and offensive linemen out. They're all back. They're confident. I like L.A. the rest of the way.
Yeah, you know, Joe, it's really interesting, too, for the Rams, who already have multiple division wins. It's one of the further issues plaguing the 49ers. They're just 1-3 in the NFC West. That is not a good start right now because a lot of those other teams, namely from the NFC North and the Commanders in the NFC East, are in pole position for those wild card spots entering the final 6 weeks or so of this NFL season. Elsewhere, Lisi Guy, a couple of contenders keeping their season afloat, maybe just maybe for a playoff spot. The Falcons are bad, but the Falcons have won 4 of their 6 games in the NFC South. So maybe the Saints, who handed the Falcons their only division loss, have a little something. Your guy, Darren Rizzi, a perfect 2-0 as the Saints interim head coach. New Orleans beats Cleveland 35-14.
The Rizzler, I'm telling you this right now, he's going to get the job. They love him down there. People have said you don't give the job to a special teams coordinator. The only assessment I can make was Ralph Bisaccia with Las Vegas. He should have been handed the job, wasn't. Yep. Rizzi's got this team playing, and Taysom Hill is playing up to expectations.
138 rushing yards for Hill and 3 rushing scores. New Orleans, after dropping 7 straight, has won both with Rizzi as the head coach, the pride of the Garden State, like my co-host Joe Lisi. So more FFC with him up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC. Lisi, just 2 more games to hit on from the NFL Sunday slate. Perhaps is there a chance for a couple of AFC teams that are still under 500 to make a late season playoff run? The Miami Dolphins, with Tua Tagovailoa now back for a 4th consecutive game, look so much better. They had not scored more than 20 points in their first 6 games of the year. Now at least 23 in all 4 games since Tagovailoa's return, including 34 yesterday at home against the Raiders. 34-19, the victory for the Fins, covering as a 7.5 point favorite. Tua, 288 yards, 3 touchdowns, more than 102 TDs to the tight end Jonnu Smith, and Tyreek Hill hits pay dirt for a 2nd consecutive game as well. 4-6, Joe. Still a lot of ground for the Fins to make up, but can Miami have a little bit of playoff life?
They can, but again, and here's the thing. Tyreek Hill is not putting up Tyreek Hill type of numbers, right? 61 yards yesterday, you know. I mean, just, I have concerns. So, again, they're creeping back to 500. I don't know if they can make a playoff run. I really don't. I still have concerns. Right. About their defense. They beat up on a team that had lost 5 straight coming out of a bye week. I thought they would be motivated and cover that line. So I was wrong in terms of the Dolphins. We'll see how it plays out. I would say tentatively no, but, you know, only time will tell. I have no confidence in Mike McDaniel, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see, Joe. Still a lot of ground to make up. And again, the back half of the AFC hasn't been great. But you've got teams like the Broncos and the Chargers now above 500 that you have to get through. Elsewhere, Lisi Guy, how about the Indianapolis Colts? Now 5-6, the return to Anthony Richardson, and yet another loss for the Jets when expected to win a football game. The Colts win outright as a 3.5, 4.5 point road underdog in MetLife, 28-28. 27. Anthony Richardson, 20 of 30 on the game. So much more efficient than we had seen. 272 yards, a touchdown, and two rushing scores, including the game-winning touchdown with only 46 seconds remaining. The New York Jets, now just 3-8, and 3-5 straight up, Lisey Guy, when booked as the favorite.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. You know what that equals? Gutless. Big, bad, bad Aaron. Couldn't even beat up on the Indianapolis Colts. 4.5-point dog. They sucked early. They trailed that matchup early. They made it a game. But this is all about Anthony Richardson. 270-plus yards through the air. Another 32 yards on the ground. 300 yards of total offense. Multiple come from behind drives in the fourth quarter. The kid showed poise. I'll tell you what, that is your starting quarterback for years to come. You got to cultivate the talent. Anthony Richardson, good for him, pulls out the outright win in MetLife yesterday.
Learned from his lumps, Joe, and played a great game. On that final drive, they got the ball back with just about 2 minutes and 40 seconds left. Six plays, 70 yards, and capped it off with his second rushing score of the game. I was all in on Indianapolis outright as the money line dog. The Colts come through. Quickly here, Lisey Guy, let's get to college football and just some big games from Saturday. Not a ton on the third to last weekend of the regular season, but Georgia got a game they absolutely had to have at home between the hedges against Tennessee. The Dogs bounce back 31-17, covering as an 8.5-point home favorite.
Oscar Delp with two big touchdown receptions, and Carson Beck bounced back in a big way through the air. The defense made enough plays to close the door and get the cover. That's what you wanted to see. They've now won 8 straight over the Volunteers, and now all you got to do is win out. They might not make the SEC championship game, but they're deserving right now of a college football playoff.
It was their final SEC game against the Vols, who now have suffered their second conference loss of this season. We'll talk more about that later in the week. Number one, Oregon, Joe, had to rally in the fourth quarter against Wisconsin, but the Ducks do to stay perfect 16-13. Wisconsin covering, though, as a 13.5-point home underdog.
Yeah, I mean, you're bound to get this. Camp Randall at night, biggest game for the year, biggest game for Luke Fickell. They had everything yet again right there. They had the Oregon on the ropes, couldn't close it out. They lose 16-13. I mean, gutty effort by Dan Lanning. Finds ways to cultivate that talent up. Doing a great job.
Led to the firing last night of Phil Longo in his second year as the offensive coordinator in Madison. See ya later. We'll have more from college football later in the week. And of course, Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, live right here on Sports Grid Radio. Show is back at noon Eastern. Talk to you then.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.